receive your healing now. I tell you, the house is full of the healing power of God. Connie, come here, please. Gloria, I'm going to need you to come help. There was some things that you couldn't change. And there were reasons. And you didn't set them in motion. And before mid-year of 2008, you'll understand them. I'll reveal them to you, saith the Lord. But right now, I want you to know by the word of the living God that came while I was standing up there, because I've been praying over you for days now. And I heard the word of the Lord. He said, you tell her she can do this thing. And that my spirit will not only give her anointing to carry out what is before her, but tell her that I will enable her to do things that up until now she didn't think she was qualified to do. I will enable you to do it. I'll walk with you. I'll walk through this with you. And it will be according to the dream, saith the Lord. It will come to pass. It will come to pass. Look at me. Oh, the word of the Lord come, and the Lord, the Lord Jesus himself. He said, I've talked to your husband about this, and everything's worked out up here, so you work it all down there, and together we'll get it done. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, glory, 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 glory. Now, because of the healing anointing that's in and on you, like in 1 year being 30 years, that anointing is to be transferred and ministered to her, as the Apostle Paul said to Timothy, by the laying on of my hands, the imparting of the prophecies are weapons you can use. And I heard the Lord say, lay your hands on her, Gloria, and the same healing and miracle anointing that's in and on you will be imparted into her spirit in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Heaven is a whole lot closer than any of us realize. Not only because of the times in which we live, because heaven and earth are coming together. And it's, but not only that, it's always been much, much closer in the spirit than we've given it credit for. Jesus said the kingdom of God right there on the inside of you. Amen. This is far more reality than most people have understood. We have a whole lot more to do with it than most people have understood in times past. But we're learning. We're learning some things. Amen. Connie's husband, pastor of a fine church, went home to be with the Lord. Well, I don't know all the ins and outs of all that. Most of it isn't my business. Where I got involved in it was they're very sweet friends of mine and partners of mine. And I'm praying for her because she's now stepped into the church and so forth. But and it might surprise somebody to understand that Jesus would call him in. He's just as much a pastor now as he was when he's here. Amen. That Jesus would call him in and discuss that church with him. And Jesus, I want you to know, Jesus cleared it with him before he called her to pastor that church. Well, I never heard anything like that. Yeah, you have. I just told you. Now, that's not the first time I've been introduced to that. You mean to tell me Copeland's gone to talking to the dead? No, I'm talking to nobody that's dead. He's not dead. If he's dead, Jesus is dead. Ain't either one of them dead, praise God. Amen. Somebody come up and said, oh, Brother Copeland, I'm so sorry you lost your mama. I didn't lose her. I know where she is. She knows where I am. Ain't either one of us lost. The scripture says to sorrow not. We are not a people without hope. Now it's time to start believing that and quit passing all that sorrow and grief around. Because he bore our sorrows and carried our griefs. And it's time to deal with that. And don't just wait and deal with it in a funeral. Preach a whole series on it, pastors. Nobody will have any faith to walk in that unless you preach it. Amen. And then we won't have funerals no more. We just have celebrations, you know. Life celebrations. Praise God. Yeah, amen. Hallelujah. Well, give the Lord another shout and amen. Well, yeah, Lord, I'll do that. Brother Kenneth Hagin said that his sister had gone home to be with the Lord, and there were some things about it that he didn't understand because he did his best to change it, and he kept running into some spiritual blocks, and he didn't know what they were, and she went on home, and it bothered him. After the service, they were at home, he and Sister Aretha, and he was still mulling all of that service over in his heart, and mine and his sister and his family and all of that. They were preparing to go to bed and they were still hanging heavy on them. And they laid down there in the bed Sister Aretha Hagin said, you hear music? He said, yeah, I do. Did you turn the radio on? No. I mean, the TV? No, I didn't have it on. Well, is there a radio in this room somewhere? They weren't in their home. They were in someone else's home or in a hotel. I think they were in someone else's home, but anyway. She said, no, I haven't turned anything on. But I hear music. He said, I hear it too. And about that time she laid down there in the bed, she said, Kenneth, it's coming out of you. And he said, the moment she said that, suddenly he was in the spirit and he was in the glory, and there stood Jesus and his sister. Well, when we got to singing, How Great Is Our God, and I was standing just behind the curtain in there, and the glory got so heavy on me, I couldn't stand it back there. I came on out here because I wanted to get in it. And when I got in it, it moved me over further into the Spirit. And that's when I heard the word of the Lord, and the Lord told me how to minister to her. Well, she told Brother Hagin, his sister told him, and Jesus was just standing there. She said, "Count, there are reasons why you couldn't change that, and don't feel bad about it." And the Lord just standing there with a smile on his face. He was listening to all that. And then she went ahead and told him some things about some of the family she'd already visited with and how they were doing. And I mean, they're just talking family, you know. It's just family stuff here. It is, you know, that's in God's heart and mind. All of this is one piece.
Yeah. Come on.
You and I see it as two pieces. He doesn't. Amen. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. I'll tell you, heaven's my kind of place. Hallelujah. Well, turn around and shake hands with somebody and say, "Oh, thank God for heaven." And then you can be seated. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We are up live on the God Channel tonight. Praise the Lord. Yeah. And I'm telling you, Rory and Wendy Alec, Gloria and I have known for many years, and they started the God Channel a number of years ago in Europe, Great Britain, and in places where... And I remember when it first started, it seemed like it was maybe BBC or somebody. Anyway, they were talking to people, you know, and I said, are you interested in this God television? Leona, it was in Great Britain, wasn't it, when it first started? And they said, why would anybody watch that? As if nobody will ever watch this. But they did. I mean, to tell you, they have brought the word of the living God all over Great Britain, all over Europe, and now, praise God, they're here in the United States. Praise the Lord. I mean, with the United States is their mission field. Praise God. And I mean, the God Channel, the God Channel is just everywhere. So everybody, look at the camera and shout amen. Hello, God Channel. Hallelujah. Praise God. Bless Rory and Wendy Alec. Praise the Lord forevermore. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Open your Bibles with me tonight to John 10:10. We in the morning service we read this scripture. I want to read it again this evening. I want you to connect something here. And also hold your place there and look up Galatians chapter 6. And this is just a powerful, powerful revelation that has revolutionized a strong, strong part of my own personal financial sowing and giving and faith. And of course, Gloria and I live by our giving. Our needs are met by our giving. And your needs are met by your giving. Now, God may instruct you to give into this ministry or into television ministry like God Channel or some of the others. And he is always instructing you to sow into your church. Amen. So, this is just a revolutionary thing to me. I, I'm Well, here, let me let you in on it, and then you can rejoice with me. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. I was preaching like you already heard it. John 10. Jesus said, "The thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy." That's the only reason he's here. He don't work for God. You understand? God is not a thief. Now get that through whatever it has to get through so that you don't ever hear those religious ideas anymore. Well, you know, the God uses the devil to put things... get on... out of that. Jesus said that thief only comes from one reason: to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I have come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. Now, I don't care how abundant your life is, Jesus wants you to have more. More. And when you get more, then when he wants you to have some more. And then you need some more. Well, I don't need all that. Well, go ahead and believe for it and give it to your church. Amen. Well, I don't think we need but just a little every month. Well, that's the stingiest thing I ever heard of. God didn't say you had to keep it. Amen. Go ahead and believe for about $1 million a month. Keep your 800 or whatever it was that you, your little dab that you was talking about, and sow the rest of it in the kingdom of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, notice this. I have come that they might have life. Now, this is the life of God, not just human natural live a few years life. This is eternal life. And the only way over a 41-year period of time I've been trying to express this word, and the only way that has ever come close to satisfy, it hasn't totally satisfied me yet, but it's the closest thing I've come upon thus far, is this. It's translated eternal life. It's translated life everlasting. It's translated the life of God. It's the thing that makes God God. It's the part of Him that is so marvelous in our eyes. That's the Zoe life. It is eternal life. It's salvation. It's the soundness. It holds within it the healing mercies of God. It's the thing that makes God God. Hallelujah. It's the thing that makes Him compassion. It is the very essence of Himself. I get excited just trying to tell it. I like to talk about it. Now, we go to Galatians 6. I was in a service, in a meeting in Fayetteville, right just across the road, or just a little ways from Fort Bragg, and the meeting was actually conducted by Chaplain Major Al Downing, who is in Iraq now, but this is just before he went overseas, and... he set this meeting up and invited Bill Winston and me and Gloria Spoke, and we just had a marvelous time. We had a lot of military personnel there and prepared a lot of them for Afghanistan, Iraq duty, and other stations around the world. And Bill Winston, who is a Tuskegee Airman and flew F-4s in Southeast Asia, and he was preaching, and the Lord showed me this scripture. Because Bill was, Brother Winston was bringing out some things that, on the kingdom of God and walking in the kingdom, man. And it was just, I'll tell you, my spirit was just soaking it, just hauling it in. And I said, God, I opened my spirit and my mind for revelation from heaven. You've heard me pray that on the Voice of Victory broadcast. We open our hearts and our minds for revelation, words that move heaven on the earth. And I was going through this, and the Lord brought this scripture up to me. It says, let him that's taught in the word, Galatians 6:6. Let him that's taught in the word communicate or respond unto him that teaches in all good things. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. Now listen to this verse right here. For he that sows to his flesh shall of his flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap zoe. You missed a good place to shout. Now, some of you black folks help me here. I think white folks don't know when to shout. They ain't got a clue. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, I know you're doing the same thing. You're pulling it into your spirit because we haven't talked about that with this scripture. I haven't either. I hadn't made this connection with John 10:10 before, and I should have. In fact, I rebuked myself, and the Lord agreed. I should have picked this up before that. He said, if you'll sow toward that purpose, see, he said, let him that's taught in the word respond to the one that taught by sowing to his spirit. Now, what does he mean, sow into your flesh? Well, sow into your flesh would be, well, wasn't that a wonderful message? Oh, yes, amen. What did he say? Well, and it'll get away from you like that if you don't do something to capture it because it's not a mental message. And your mind won't retain a whole lot of it until you get it in your spirit and then renew your mind with it until it becomes part of your mind. Now, James taught on that. And he said, don't be just a hearer of the word only, be a doer of it. He said, and he compared it to somebody looking in a mirror. And he said, you look in the mirror, you do it every day. Yeah, it's 2 or 3 times a day, depending on where you're going somewhere after supper. You go look in the mirror again. Amen. Now, unless you make a specific point of something you see in that mirror, you'll walk away from there and you know what your general face and your general appearance is and everything. I mean, you know exactly all that and everything, but you walk away from there and you can't tell me till this day how long your nose is, either in centimeters or inches. You know why? You didn't measure it. You just looked at it. But if you ever were to get a ruler and measure it and wrote it down on the mirror, if you ever did something dumb as that, you're going to remember it the rest of your life. Well, what he's saying is here, you walk up to the mirror unless you plan to specifically pay attention here, you'll walk away from it and you don't even remember what you saw. Because you look different every time you look in there anyway. Amen. And he said, don't do it like that. And then he quit calling the word a mirror, and he called it the perfect law of liberty. You'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Now, how do you make that bridge from mirror to perfect law of liberty? We just read it. He said, when you receive that, that word, and somebody is teaching you and somebody that God has dealt with and anointed on a particular thing from the perfect law of liberty, and then God had you come be in the meeting. Well, you ain't going to sow to your flesh and just say, wasn't that wonderful, and just get up and leave. Because you won't get but very little of it if you only heard it one time anyway. But if you begin to zero in on it, and then you say, well, now I'm going to sow back into this ministry, and I'm going to sow to my spirit in the name of Jesus. I am sowing into this message. See, I'm sowing into this ministry. I'm sowing into the administration of this word that the Spirit of God saw to it that I was exposed to and was exposed to me. Now I'm sowing into this, and I'm sowing into my spirit to release the very life, the Zoe of Jesus, for the abundance of His word that He came to see to it that I get more of.
Amen.
How are you ever going to get more without more?
Right.
You can't get more on what you already got.
Amen.
I like what Brother Hagin said. He said, you know, if you'd quit talking and start listening, you already know everything you know. You might learn something from somebody else. Well, see, that's what God is saying to all of us. You're not going to get more until the Lord feeds you more. And then when you act on that more and you release that, then it comes up out of your spirit as revelation and begins to renew your mind to the word that you were taught.
Thank you, Jesus.
And now you have more.
Amen.
So you walk in that. And the Lord will come along and feed you some more. And then you'll get up some more and He said, now here's something else I'd like to talk to you about. And so He'll feed you some more. And more. And more. And more. Man, I tell you, I could not wait until they received the offering in that meeting there over there at Fort Bragg where Brother Winston was preaching that day. And man, I couldn't get my offering in quick enough because I wanted that stuff he was talking about on the kingdom of God, and I wanted to get it from here to right here. I wanted it right there, man. And you know what? I sowed it, and God did, and I did, and He did, and we did, and I got it. Praise God. Amen. And it's still working in me.
Amen.
Even though that's been some weeks ago. Now, what's it doing? It's making me free. It's the perfect law of liberty.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Did you get anything out of that?
Amen.
Yeah, that's strong.
Amen.
So anytime a message is fed to you, you want to do two things. One thing, you make a decision before you sit down in there. I'm not going to be distracted. I'm going to get this. I'm going to hear whatever the voice of the Spirit has for me in these meetings. Now, if you make that decision, then the devil can't run you around all over the building and get your attention. You're just kind of out there somewhere. What did he say? And you say, glory to God. Did you get that? I ain't getting none. What are you talking about? Now, listen to what Jesus said. I only speak what I hear my Father speak. Didn't He say that in the Gospel of John? He said, I only speak what I hear my Father speak. Continue ye in my word. But now, wait a minute. He only said what He heard His Father speak. Continue in my word, and you'll be my disciple. The word disciple there means like me. You continue in, let me get real personal here where I can illustrate this. I only speak to you what I hear my Father speak. Now you continue in what I say to you, which I only say what my Father said to me and I say to you.
Right.
you continue in my word, you'll be my disciple indeed, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you just as free as me. You get that part? He said, you will be free. You'll be made free. But free as what? Well, just free as he is. Well, what kept him free? What he heard. Well, what he heard, he said. And when you took it and stayed in it, then you're acting on the same word he's acting on and gets the same results, because God no respecter of persons. And that's why Jesus came in the first place.
That's right.
He was already free. You understand? Amen. He came in order to deliver the freedom word, the perfect law of liberty. Hallelujah. Amen. Father, we receive it. We sow tonight into the revelation of the Word of God. We sow to the Spirit to open our hearts and minds to reap life, to reap the Zoe of God. And in verse 9, Father, we stand on this. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap. If we just don't faint, just stay with it. Just keep sowing and keep listening. Keep listening, keep sowing. Keep sowing, keep listening. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them of the household of faith. Hallelujah. And Father, we thank you and we give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen. If you'd like an envelope for your giving, if you're giving cash and you'd like a receipt, then you need to get one of these envelopes. If you're writing a personal check, just write it to KCM, Kenneth Copeland Ministries. And if it's personalized, we'll receipt your check automatically, and you don't necessarily need an envelope, but you're welcome to use one if you desire. In cash, if you want a receipt, you will need the envelope. Amen. Hallelujah. Ushers, after you minister to the people with the envelopes, and go ahead then and receive the evening offering. And Leah and Wayne are going to come, and guess what they're going to do? Sing! They're going to sing. No, they're going to minister the Word of God to you. When David was anointed as king of Israel, the first thing he did under that anointing was minister to Saul. Man, I mean, Saul was in bad condition physically and mentally. And the word says there was a spirit on him. And when David came in as the psalmist, and he began to minister in the presence of this man that's so tormented mentally, the word says that he was refreshed, he was made well, and the spirit that plagued him left. Now, these are not just song singers. Both of them have the supernatural ministry that is in that psalmist realm that has healing and has peace and has the presence of God in it. So now open your heart to receive that, see? Now the healing power of God's been in the service ever since the song service. Well, that's the same thing, see? The ministry in praise and worship brings that same, because God inhabits these things, right? Minister to us, but praise the Lord. Love you.
Hallelujah! 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 Hallelujah!
Oh, praise God! Oh, praise the name of the Master! Praise His holy name. Glory, 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 glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. You've heard me say this before, but I I say it as a matter of reference that Gloria and I have been in this ministry since January of 1967. So, be 41 years in January. And in all of those years, I have never, ever had so much revelation flowing in my spirit. It's far more. Not just a little more. It's far more. That's the reason I can't quit. I can't be quiet. And it's... Well, glory. Father, we thank you. And we do love you and praise you and worship you. We come before the word of the living God tonight. We come before this word with expectant hearts. It is the word of the Most High God. And we stand in the covering of the Almighty Himself. And we thank you. We give you praise. We release our faith and receive it. We'll alter our lifestyle to fit the word instead of trying to change the word to fit our lifestyle and what we think it ought to be. Oh, praise God. We will allow your word to correct us in our thinking, in our believing, our speaking, and in our actions. And we give you praise and we honor you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's go once again to the book of Hebrews and also turn to the book of 1 John. In fact, let's read from 1 John, and we'll deal with this part. You remember we're talking about the high priestly ministry of Jesus. And this word priest, well, we talked about it to some degree last night, and I'd like to introduce you to another part of it tonight. And this word priest is also translated one authorized to administer. Well, in our circles, we translated it minister. Other circles translate it priest. But actually, in the Greek text, it's the same word. And this word means an agent. An administer or administrator, or the most high authority in an administration. Now, the very high priestly ministry of Jesus is to have charge as a chief agent to execute or carry into effect, to manage, conduct, furnish, supply, dispense, distribute, direct, control, execute, superintend, to furnish help and be of service. That's the ministry of Jesus. Now, we also, in the way these words are put together, we also get our word choreographer from it, the director. Amen. Well, don't you remember in the book of Ephesians, it says that he is the one that has fitly joined the body of Christ together. But it says that the joints hold it together. We're supposed to be holding on to one another in the anointing of God and in the love of God. So, to get this picture of Jesus, The faithful, say faithful. The faithful and merciful, say merciful. The faithful and merciful high priest. The most high administrator, all of the administration of heaven, all the administration of the earth, all authority over all of the angels, and all authority over everything that belongs to God has been put in his hands and laid on his shoulders squarely, and he is upholding all things by the word of his power. Don't you remember he said, all authority has been given unto me, both in heaven and in earth. Amen. Amen. Somebody would say, do you mean to tell me that Jesus is the only way? Well, if there was some other way, Jesus would be in charge of it. Why not just go to top? Amen. Instead of, you know, all that monkey motion down here messing with something else. I'll tell you what, if there was some other way, he's still the best. Right. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, you see, there may be some ways for others and other ways, but we're all headed to the same place. Is that right? You make me think that fellow that went off to school for one semester and he come back knowing everything, you know. He's so smart now. First thing he did was, you know, just jump all over his little cousin who went to church and believed God, and she walked by faith, and of course he come back so smart, and he's smarter now than the Bible and God and everybody. And he's trying to straighten her out, you know. And he's talking about the fish swallowing Jonah. And she said, well, I believe it happened just like the Bible said. He said, well, you know, it is a scientific fact that the largest whale on earth still does not have a throat large enough to swallow a full-grown man. She said, well, I don't care what you say. I believe just like I said. He said, well, we'll never really know, will we? She said, yeah, I'm going to know. When I get to heaven, I'm going to ask him. He said, well, what if he's not there? She said, well, then you can ask him. Go ahead and deal with it now. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Look with me in 1 John chapter 1. That which we have heard from the beginning, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of Zoe, the word of life. For the life, you need to underline the word the there. In English, really actually should be capitalized. For the life was manifested, and we've seen it, and we bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father, which was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you. Now, why are you declaring this unto me, Brother John? Well, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship. The word fellowship there literally means, in the way you and I talk today, partnership. That you and I might have the same part with one another. That we might be partners together. And truly, our fellowship, our partnership is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus, the one anointed. These things write we unto you that your joy might be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all.
Amen. Amen.
Now, let me refer you to other scriptures, and you can go look them up. I ain't going to do all of your studying for you. But the Word of God said, you are born of the light. You once were darkness, but now you are light in him. And then it says in the book of Romans, put on the full armor of light. Ooh, hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, if you'll do what Brother John here is telling us to do, you can walk in the light. Now, light is the ultimate force of all matter. Light energy. God, glory. The Word. Huh? Okay, you with me now? Now, follow me here. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and don't do the truth. Hold your place right there and just flip over just a little bit there. In chapter 2, verse 9, he that saith he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness even until now. He that loves his brother abides in the light, and there's none occasion of stumbling in him. Do you hear that? He that loves his brother abides. He lives in the light. There is none occasion of stumbling in him. What kind of a person would it take to walk in the room, turn out the light, and then stumble over everything in there? But he that hateth, or he that loveth not his brother, is in darkness, walks in darkness, knows not where he goes, because darkness has blinded his eyes. My goodness, well, what are we going to do about this? How are we going to stay in the light when everybody out there is cussing and fussing? And most of it me. Amen. What are we going to do? Well, let's go back over to chapter 1. I'm glad you asked that, because Brother John here is going to answer it for us. Praise the Lord. Now watch this. If we walk in the light, I'm verse 7, as he is in the light, then we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus, the anointed one, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. Now, he's not opening this up where we just think we got sin all the time and can't get rid of it. That's not that the reason that sounded like he said that is because it's been preached that way. Until most people think that way. I was taught from a little boy coming up that everybody got a sin every day. I found out later, that's a lie. And here it is right here. He said, if we say we have no sin, when we do, you know it. You know if you do. Huh? Maybe not nobody else know it, but you do. Amen. So, now, if we say we have no sin, then we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just. The word translated just there is the same word for righteous. He is faithful and he is righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Huh? He said he's faithful, isn't he? Says he's righteous to do it. for him to say, nah, I ain't going to forgive you for that, you nasty thing. I mean, you came in here and confessed it yesterday, and there you are doing it again. You'd already smoked 3 cigarettes. You might as well smoked a whole carton, you fool. No, that wasn't Jesus talking to you. That was the devil that's trying to kill you. I know. I fell for that lie. No, just get up and confess it again. Don't you remember what Jesus told Peter? He said, how many times are we supposed to forgive our brother? 7 times? He said, 70 times 7. Amen. Well, he's not going to ask you to do something that he's not willing to do. He's faithful and he's just. Not only that, he understands because he's been here, he's lived in a body of flesh, and he had to crucify his flesh just the same as you have to crucify yours. How did he do it? You want me to tell you how Jesus walked a sin-free life? He took all the commandments of God and rolled them into 2. Love the Lord thy God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind and strength. And your neighbor as yourself, these 2. Now, you remember the question the man asked him that caused him to give that answer? What do I do to receive eternal life? How do I get Zoe? He said, what is the greatest commandment? How do you read it? He said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, your mind, and your strength. And Jesus said, that's correct. You do that and you will live. Now, he said in the Gospel of John, John quoted him as saying, you continue in my love as I continued in my Father in his love. He walked in love and satisfied all the commandments by loving the Lord his God, his neighbor as himself, and doing unto others what he would have others do unto him. Thereby fulfilling all the law and the prophets. So he majored on the love walk instead of majoring on hundreds of commandments based on 10. He took the major 2 and he walked on them. Now you remember the rich young ruler that came to him? He asked the same question. He said, what must I do to receive eternal life? Well, now, the other fellow that asked Jesus that, asked him that trying to tempt him. He was a student of the law. He was a lawyer. And he was trying to trap him in his speech. And Jesus turned around and said, how do you read it? He said, well, I read, you know, love the Lord your God. And he said, well, you read it right. You do that and you live. But now, when the rich young ruler came up, it said he looked at him and he loved him. And he named off several commandments. Don't commit adultery. He didn't mention anything about love. He mentioned the lying, stealing, killing, flesh sin. And the man said, I've kept those from my youth. Well, Jesus didn't say, I know it, but you can hear it in his voice. He said, one thing you lack. What was it? Love. He kept all these don'ts, but he didn't do the do's. Now, he was doing what he thought was keeping those commandments, and he was taking care of business, and he's doing all these different things. And, of course, the blessing had come on him in that proportion, and he had a lot of stuff. But he was in trouble. He knew it in his heart. That's the reason he came to Jesus with it. And the Lord said, start giving. Start with giving to the poor. Now, what happened to him? The scripture said he grieved. He counted that as a loss. Well, now you can see where he was and why Jesus was trying to get him out of there. He was walking in darkness, not in light and life. And Jesus was trying to get him out of there and bring him over. And he offered him apostleship. He said, you come follow me. And he walked away. Now, what better choice for Judas's replacement? Huh? Guy handled big money, a lot of money. And he was not a thief, because that's one of the things he kept from his youth. But without the love, he didn't qualify. And he turned around and walked away from it. Now, tradition tells us who he was. You want to know? For additional tapes, but no. I wouldn't do you that way. Traditionally, and I've never researched it deep enough to tell, but all of the earmarks of it there, that it was Barnabas. He's the one who started all that giving, the giving of the properties. And so they got Ananias and Sapphira in trouble. You remember when the church said they had all things in common, they brought their stuff in. They started selling and giving and giving and selling. Well, isn't that what Jesus told him to do? You go sell what you have and start giving. All right. Amen. Well, if it wasn't, it should have been. You can't prove it wasn't. Seriously, in my heart, I believe it was. Because, like I said, all the earmarks are there. Because Barnabas lived that way. Amen. Now, let's go back here and look at what Jesus said here. Or what John said here. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us. And I didn't finish that. Let's go back over to 15th chapter of John. The Lord won't let me get away from that. We're not going to do any good in the book of Hebrews. We settled all of this. So go to the Gospel of John chapter 15. Verse 10. Let's read verse 9, go down to it. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue in my love. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Now, you notice the word even as? That's just as available to you as it was to Jesus. Well, how are you going to do it? You're going to do it the same way. You're going to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind and strength, your neighbor as yourself. But now this is a reason it's a commandment. You're not going to do it just when you feel like it. And you're not going to do it just when somebody talks ugly and you're going to respond with love. No, you won't. You'll forget it and respond ugly, and then you'll have to repent and get back. Unless you begin loving the Lord your God and you walk in the love of Jesus the way he walked in the love of his Father, and he said, if you love me, you keep my commandments. It has to become a command, not a suggestion, not a promise card. Now, Peter said to us, in fact, let's turn over there, 2 Peter, and here is the key issue of it. 2 Peter 3, verse 1. This second epistle, or this second letter, beloved, I now write unto you. Now, why would he use a word like beloved? Yes, beloved. No, it wasn't a religious word. It's been translated in a way, and it got used in church much. But he is walking in what he's preaching. He's keeping the commandment of love. It's right up in his mouth. Now, notice how he used this. This second letter, beloved or loved one, I now write unto you in both letters, which I stir up your pure mind by way of remembrance. Now let's unscramble that a little bit. I'm stirring up your memory of the word. Your pure mind. The truth that's in your mind. What, Brother Peter? What is that? That you may be mindful, or you may remember the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment to us, the apostles, from the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to be remembering what the prophets wrote, and you need to be remembering what the Lord commanded us to do. What did the prophets write? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, your mind, your strength. What did Jesus command? Love one another. Now, how did John write it? He wrote it in the third chapter of 1 John. He put it in the way you have to do it. And he put first, this is our commandment, that you believe on the name of his son Jesus. If you don't do that, you can't walk in the rest of it. Because you have to do this by faith. You can't do this by feeling. Because if you try to walk in this by feeling, you won't have nothing but Christmas cards. That's all you'll have left. Little grace cards. Little peace on earth, goodwill among men. Only you were bright in there. Goodwill toward good men. What was it? Goodwill something. No, it wasn't goodwill among men. It was goodwill towards man. That's what that angel shouted. And he was preaching. The boss angel was declaring something. And all the other angels got so happy and got to shouting, they shouted down the boss angel. You read it for yourself sometime. Where'd he get that? I read the book. Amen. They shouted him down. And he said, rejoice because there's born unto you in the city of David a Savior. Peace on earth. Goodwill towards man. The war between heaven and earth is over. The blessing is back in the hands of Adam. The sacrifice is in there, and that's as far as the boss angel got. And it says, all the angels begin to shout. They just shouted him down. They were so thrilled. What were they doing there in the first place? They were there on duty until that birth was complete. He sent his angels and gave them charge over him. Something had to sanctify that pig. I'm not a pig pen. It wasn't. It's at least a sheep pen. Well, sheep are dirty too. You don't want to be having a baby in any kind of barn. Amen?
Amen?
They sanctified it. Watched over him, watched over her, to see to it, ain't nothing going to happen to this baby. And he is successfully born into the earth. The sacrifice is here, and you can't get him out. And God just announced, called things be not as though they were, and said, the war is over. Go announce peace. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now, and that same Jesus said, I love you with the same love my Father loved me, and you can walk in my love the same way I walked in his love. And he didn't intend for you to do this by yourself. Because he's planning on taking his place as the administrator, the high priest, the one that watches over your words of life and love to see to it that they come to pass.
Thank you, Jesus.
I tell you, if I was doing on the outside what I'm doing on the inside, this building wouldn't hold me right now. And I'd be doing it too if I didn't have so much more of this the Lord's told me to put into your spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Now, when you recognize, believe on the name of his son Jesus and love one another as he gave commandment. How did he give commandment? You start with the prophets. Now, Peter said, I'm stirring up your memory. I'm stirring up what the prophets said, and I'm stirring up what the Lord Jesus commanded. What is the problem? Is there anybody in here that knows Jesus as Lord and Savior that never heard we're supposed to love one another? No. Everybody knows that. Then why ain't everybody doing it? They don't remember. They get in a fuss and remember it 3 months later. If at all. Why? Well, that's what the Apostle Peter was saying. I'm writing this letter to stir up your pure mind. What you know of the Word of God. What you know of this commandment. Of what the prophet said. You don't want to remember that. You get it from back here where you kind of know it. And you keep confessing it, and you keep reading it, and you keep confessing every failure the moment you fail it, and you get right back in Jesus' presence. You get right back in His face, and you confess that unforgiveness. You confess that word that did not come out of the love of God, and you violated the thing again, and you get there before Him, and you just fall out before Him and say, I repent, I sinned, I broke the commandment of love. And you are faithful and you are righteous to forgive me, and I receive my forgiveness. And my cleansing. Oh, that's big. That's big. He's not just faithful to forgive. He's faithful to cleanse. From what? From all unrighteousness.
Yes. Hallelujah.
When you feel better about it, of course.
Amen.
When you quit feeling guilty, of course. Yeah. Now, none do your feelings. Said He's faithful and just. He is faithful to God and He's faithful to you, but He's none have nothing to do with your feelings. He's faithful to the Word. Now, let's take some time here. Let's talk about His faithfulness to the Word. No. We'll take one more step before we do that. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Hold your place right there, 1 John, and flip over to Isaiah 40. I really am just kind of floating around in the Holy Ghost on this one. The Lord said this to me, in the summer this year, and like I said, I've just been really enjoying this. Isaiah 43, and I want you to look at the 25th verse. I am He that blotteth out your transgressions for my own sake, and will not remember your sin. Now, that is the Father God. That is, if you'll study through there, you will find out that that is the capital L, little capital O-R-D, Yud He Vav He Himself that said that. Now, Jesus, you remember last night we talked about from the book of Hebrews that He is the faithful and merciful high priest to God for the reconciliation of the sins of the people. Amen. 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 Now, let's see what's going on here. This word from the prophets, quoting the Almighty Himself. Jesus is faithful to that word. Now, stay with me now. We're going somewhere with it. I've read that for years and years and years, and I believed it because it's in the book, and I had problems with it all the time. I hadn't had no personal problem believing it, and I shouldn't have had no problem taking advantage of it. I mean, yeah, man, you blot out them transgressions, that's fine with me. And I depend on the blood, and I depend on the name, and I depend on the word, and so forth. Now, like I said earlier this year, I just kind of blurted it out at him. I read that, and I said, I want to ask you something. I said, you said right there, I am he that blots out your transgressions for my own sake. I said, now I know you did that for my sake, but here it says you did it for your sake. What do you get out of it? That's the part that's been bothering me. And I never did just throw it at him like that, you know, but I decided I wanted to hear something about that. I said, what do you get out of it? He said, do you want to remember bad things about your children? I said, no. He said, neither do I. Now, I'll tell you, the religious sin consciousness of religious-minded people have really been frustrating this. Because the next verse, put me in remembrance and let us plead together, saith the Lord. Declare thou that you may be justified. There's that word just again. That you may be righteous in his sight. I said, Lord, what does that mean? And I wrote it down right here. I'll read it to you. The Lord said, I have purged my memory concerning you, Kenneth. There is a blank page in my memory, and I'm inviting you to fill it with my word and the things you would have me remember about you.
Praise God.
Now, God said he blotted out. He don't half blot.
Thank you. Amen.
He has the supernatural power to totally forget, to totally blot out. Now, what's been frustrating that? Well, I'm just so unworthy. I'm just an old sinner saved by grace. What do you want anybody to remember that for? Huh? No, no. Man, I mean, I jumped out of my chair. I wrote that down. I said, woo-hoo-hoo-hoo, glory to God. Yes, amen. He's blotted out my transgression. He don't remember my sin. I have his mind. I have a blank path. Oh, Father, I'm so blessed. I am so blessed. Oh, I'm blessed, 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 blessed. I am so healed. I am so well. Praise God. I know I must be your favorite. Oh, yeah, I know I must be because I read in the Word where I have divine favor. Oh, hallelujah. I know everybody else your favorite too, but I, you know, oh, my goodness.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen, amen, amen. I don't ever intend to frustrate him with that anymore. I'm just going to talk blessing, talk the blood of Jesus, talk the word, talk the love of God. I love you, Father, with all my heart, all my soul, all my mind, and my strength. And I love my neighbor as myself. You mean you don't ever violate that commandment? I don't talk to my Father about it. I talk to Jesus about it. When are you ever going to wake up? He don't tattle on you.
Amen.
We have a man in the Godhead.
Amen.
That's been here.
That's right.
He's your high priest. He's faithful and he's just. And as far as your heavenly Father is concerned, you are perfect. The scripture said he knew you before the foundation of the world. Before you turned into your own ugly self. Before you turned into a sinner. Before the devil ever came. Before there ever was a world. He knew every one of us. And the scripture said he blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Hallelujah. Amen. God set this thing up for us. Why? So that the blessing of Abraham might come on us all.
Amen.
Through Christ Jesus.
Yes, hallelujah.
Hallelujah. All the administration of it has been turned over to the Son. And the Father has retired to enjoy His children.
Amen.
I was up on the platform one night. We just having a praise like we've been having here for the last 2 days. Just shouting, man. Oh, man, where is this going? And I got so excited. And I said, man, I run around the platform and I'm just shouting. And I stopped and I said, Lord, what is it? I said, I know you're trying to say something to me. I just stopped and I said, what is it, Lord? And the word of the Lord come to mind. I mean, I heard it on the inside of me. He said, Kenna, if it hadn't been for sin, I never would have had a serious thought. And I began to understand. He's love.
Amen.
He's joy. He's life. In Him, there is no darkness. Darkness is serious.
Right.
In light, there's life and joy and no fear. He said, if it hadn't have been for sin, I never would have had a serious thought. He said, we'd have just partied all the time. He said, I get more kick out of this praise sessions than you do. He said, I love it when my people are happy and thrilled. That's the reason He commanded the Israelites, whether they liked it or not, you have a party at least several times a year. Get together and shout and praise, whether you feel like it or not. Let's do something here. Praise. And of course, He inhabited the praise of His people. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah, but brother, come on. Hey, don't start moaning on me now. You got sin in your life? Go to Jesus. Don't run from Him when you sin. Run to Him. And you're going to find out something startling. When you confess that sin, was not when He found out about it. That's when you got rid of it. Hallelujah. He's faithful and He's just and He's merciful and He is righteous to not only forgive, but to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And when you approach your Heavenly Father in prayer, you don't say anything but what's in this book. You don't go in there go moaning and groaning about things. You just go in there and begin to tell Him. Oh, hallelujah. It's so wonderful to be washed in the blood. It's a wonderful thing, Father, to be an innocent man. Did you ever read where the Apostle Paul wrote and said, we have defrauded no man. We have wronged no man. Receive us. Now, I was just a young, stupid Christian. And I read that. And I jumped up. And I said, oh, no. Ho, ho, I've caught this man in a lie. Look, he said, we've wronged no man. We've defrauded no man. And right over here he said, I persecuted the church. I've got record here that this man killed Christians. And how can he say, I've defrauded no man and I have wronged no man? And more, I want you to know, the Spirit of God jumped on me. He hollered at me inside my spirit. Dear God, somebody said, did you hear an audible voice? I don't know what it was. I heard it with every cell of my being. And I don't ever intend for Him to have to holler at me like that again. I don't like that. But it's better than else. If He has to, that's fine. I'm open. Boy, He hollered at me and said, you watch who you call a liar. The man you're accusing died on the road to Damascus. Oh, Lord, forgive me, forgive me, forgive me, forgive me. Oh, Jesus, forgive me. And then I got happy. I thought, whoo, the man I've been sweating over died in North Little Rock, Arkansas in November the 2nd, 1962. He's dead and gone. He's dead and gone. He's dead and gone. I've wronged no man. I've defrauded no man. My Father blotted out all of my transgressions. Woo! Glory to God. Oh, that's something to shout about. That's something to get thrilled over. Religion never finds this out. They're going to beat our doors down to get into these meetings. Any man that's in Christ Jesus is a new creature. Old things have passed. Creature means creation, a new species of being created in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away, and all things have become new, and all things are of God. And he who knew no sin was made to be sin for us, that we might be made, not become, made the righteousness of God in him. Well, the devil starts pushing you around. Don't fall for your feelings. Yes. He'll come conning around you. I know you love the Lord. Oh, yes. I know you ought to been fasting more than you've been doing.
Yeah, I know.
I know you know. You hadn't been out, you know, you hadn't been out distant the sick like you should.
I know it.
You shut up. Don't fall for that. It's a sucker punch coming.
Well, what am I supposed to do then? Don't say anything but this. Jesus is your counselor. He is your lawyer. This is the reason you can get happy. I don't care who's talking ugly about you.
Amen.
Because I know my Lord. And I know in whom I have trusted in my life. And when he comes around there and he starts fishing for it, you know. Yeah, well, you know, you're not spending quite as much time in the Word as you said. You just smile and say, I'm innocent, thank you. Oh, yes, I'm innocent. Well, they're going to bring you up in front of the judge and just see how innocent you are. Well, then he'll try to act like the judge. How do you plead? I plead the blood! Case dismissed. Brown. Out the door he goes. And my father sent that lamb and said, that's my boy there, you know. Yeah, that's my boy. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's him. That's my girl over there, you know. I know her too. She's good. She's good. Just healed and good and just my darling, you know. That's the way your father talks about you all the time. If you learn to fill his memory with the word and the blessing. And it thrills Jesus to be your intercessor. The one in between. The administrator of the secret place of the Most High God. Okay, now let's go over to the book of Hebrews. Did we get there? Did you get anything out of that? If you didn't get anything, I'm to tell you the truth. I really don't care. I am feeding on high cotton in here tonight, man. I'm telling you, I'm loving this. Woo! Glory to be to God. Book of Hebrews. Amen. And I'd like for you to go with me now. We talked last night about the second chapter and the third chapter and the fourth chapter. Seeing then that we have a high priest passed into the heavens, his ministry and authority is his calling and his administration of the blessing, the word, because he's Lord over sin. He's Lord over sickness. When you accepted him as your Lord, you were a sinner. But you accepted him as Lord, but then you were born again.
Yes.
Amen. And he is your Lord and Savior. Yes. Now, people have accepted him as Savior and never accepted him as Lord. He is my master. He is my Lord and Savior. But he's also my high priest. He's also my brother. He's my blood brother. There's blood between he and I. And it's his blood. That's more better than my blood. I'd have been glad to shed my blood, but my blood ain't nothing compared to his. There's blood between us, brother. You know that? And it's the blood of Jesus.
Yes.
There's a blood covenant between glory and me. Yes. And it's the blood of Jesus.
Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Now, I want you to look with me. Well, let me get there with you. The book of Hebrews, let's go into the sixth chapter. Now, he is faithful to the word. Jeremiah, first chapter, says he watches over his word to perform it. And the word in the King James is hastens. And in Hebrew, it just said he is quick to watch over his word to see that it comes to pass, to perform it. Say perform.
Perform.
Now, either write that word down somewhere or remember it, to perform. I watch over my word to perform it. You remember the 16th chapter of the book of Mark? Go ye into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. Huh? And he said, these signs will follow them that believe. In my name you cast out the devil. In my name you lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. In my name, in my name, in my name. Huh? You remember that? Well, then you read the 20th verse and it says, and they went everywhere preaching the word. And what happened? Huh? I'll hold you place there in the book of Hebrews. I've heard about four translations there at one time. Let's go over and read this, because you have to get this firmly locked into your thinking here, because religion would have said it like this. Religion would have said, Jesus appeared to them and said, boys, I'm going all over the world and I'm going to preach the gospel to every creature and I'm going to cast out the devil and I'm going to heal the sick and raise the dead and I want you boys to come go with me. Well, then what is it? Let's see what he said. He said, he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat. He upbraided them. He got on them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. And he said, you go into all the world, you preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized will be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they'll cast out devils. They'll speak with new tongues. They'll take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it'll not hurt them. They'll lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. So then, the Lord, after he had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and set on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with. You notice the word them is in italics. Is it in italics in your Bible?
Yes, sir.
That means somebody added that in there. And in this case, it shouldn't have been there. Well, some translator added it in there. You got to just same right take it out and see what it does to the verse. You take it out and it is the verse. Now notice what it says. The Lord working with and confirming the word. The high priest is in action here. They're speaking the word. He's working with the word. He wasn't confirming them. He's confirming the word that they preached. Didn't it make a difference who was preaching it? In his name. He wasn't working with them. Well, he actually was working with them, but they were preaching the word, and he was working with the word.
Yeah. Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Upholding all things by the word of his power. All right, now you're there, okay? Remember, I will perform. He watches over his word to perform it. What was happening here? Was not the high priest performing with signs following? Huh? All right, now, the book of Hebrews. We're going to get this. I want you to look at this sixth chapter of the book of Hebrews. Let's look, beginning with the 13th verse. When God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself. My goodness. Saying, surely, I guarantee you, what's he saying? I give you my word. Blessing, I will bless you. Multiplying, I will multiply you. Where have you heard that? Be fruitful, multiply, subdue the earth, have dominion over it. That's the blessing of the Garden of Eden. I will multiply you. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained that promise. Well, he had to patiently endure because he didn't understand it. He was a moon worshiper. And he had to get out in the country, away from his kin folks, and get out there where God could talk to him. And he had to raise him a little at a time in the blessing. He'd been living in the curse. And after a while, he didn't have the book. Amen. Put your marker there. And let's go to the book of Genesis. And let's look in the 26th chapter. Now, Abraham has just passed on. He's just died. He has a son named Isaac. He is the seed of Abraham. Now what's going to happen? Well, Isaac doesn't have a book either. He just learned what his daddy taught him, and God had to personally teach his daddy, and God stood personally in blood and swore a blood-sworn oath to him, and he had to teach his son that. But now what's he going to do? Daddy's gone. 26th chapter of Genesis, are you there? Verse 2, and the Lord appeared unto him, or unto Isaac, and said, he told him what to do. He told him, don't go down there to Egypt and dwell there. Number 3, sojourn in the land. Sojourn means to walk through it like you own it. Sojourn in the land, and I will be with you, and I will bless you, for unto you and unto your seed, I will give these countries, and I will perform the oath which I swore to your father Abraham. Huh? I will perform. He watches over his word to perform it. Jesus is the high priest over the word. He is faithful to perform the word. Now, are we on the same page here? Now, his word, his oath, do you not understand that this book is God's bond? Those of you that study end time, I mean, you really, I love it, don't you? And you know, there is a real destructive thing that's about to happen here. In fact, Russia's setting itself up for it right now. It's just falling right into place. And it's going to join forces. What the way the scripture looks and the way it looks like it's coming together, looks like they're going to join forces with Islamic nations against Israel. And do you remember from that word that it says when that war takes place, that I'm telling you, hail, storms and everything, the kind of thing you can think of, and it is going to clean house on a bunch of folks. And it says, this is a phrase I want to get you to, and God will sanctify his name. Now, we don't say that today. I don't say, well, I'm telling you what, I'm going to sanctify my name. That ain't the way we say it. We say, now, boy, I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to clear my name. I value my word and I value my name. Them people are lying on me, and I'm going to clear my name. Now, you'd understand what I meant by that, wouldn't you? That's what he's saying. It, the Almighty, his own self, is about to clear his name. Because they've been thinking he ain't going to do anything. They've been thinking we can just do anything we want to. And he has gotten so merciful he ain't going to do anything to anybody. I'm glad I'm on this side. You get hailstones. You get hailstones big as 18-wheel trucks falling in on this thing, and I'm telling you, somebody's gonna say that is God. And he said, every human being left will say there's only one God, and he's our God. Well, I would too, but he's clearing his name. Let me turn this clock off. Well, I mean, you got to have some kind of marking time in there. No, I don't ever get through, but I am going to. Well, I'm in pretty good company. The Apostle Paul said, finally, brethren, and wrote two or three more chapters. I mean, you know. I want you to get a hold of the word perform. I watch over my word to perform it. I will perform the oath. He didn't say I'm going to perform your ideas. He said I'm going to perform that blood oath I made with your daddy. And so Isaac lived his life on that promise. Now, let's go back over there where we were now in the book of Hebrews. I got to get this in here. You'll be glad we did. And then we'll pick up tomorrow night in this sixth chapter. And I notice verse 15. So after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation. In other words, a blood sworn oath, not just a paper contract, but a blood sworn oath is for what? Is the end of all strife. It stops all the argument. Huh? You argue around about it, but when it gets down to blood, brother, I mean, the argument's over. Now, he said, now men are that way. When men make solemn agreements, agreements of honor, that men will die for. That ends it, man. There ain't no argument about this anymore. Now, notice this. God willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise. And if you be Christ's, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. God willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel. Now, don't let that big word throw you, because we don't use that word much anymore. Let me give you what it means. Immutability. Not capable or susceptible to change, never changing or varying under any condition or circumstance. That's what immutability is. Willing more abundantly to show you joint heirs with Jesus, heirs of Abraham's promise, that he ain't never changed it. He will perform it for you the same as he performed it for Isaac. Because there is a greater one than Isaac on the scene, and his name is Jesus. Hallelujah. And he is our high priest, and he is standing in his blood. Not the blood of a goat. Or a lamb or a calf. Ooh, you shouting over that, you wait till we get to this. Now, glory to God. The immutability, the unchangeable, is unvarying, impossible to change his counsel or his... He confirmed it by an oath that by two immutable things... There's been a lot of theological discussion about this, but why don't we just let the Bible tell us what those two things were? By two immutable... Two... unchangeable, never varying things, in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, a strong inner strength, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. I mean, we saw it in the book and we grabbed hold of it. It's just as much yours as it was Isaac's. Why? Because we didn't get, we're not Isaac's promise. We got the daddy's promise.
Uh-huh. Amen.
And you go in the book of Galatians, you find out that when God made promise to Abraham, he was speaking to Jesus. Amen. We got his promise. Now, stay with me now. Two immutable things, two unchangeable things by which it's impossible for God to lie. Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which enters into that within the veil, where the forerunner is for us entered. You're talking about the heavenly holy of holies, where Jesus, all the blood of Jesus, not just a little drop of it, all of his blood is alive today in the heavenly holy of holies. And it is ever in God's face. There are things ever in his face. One is his covenant that there would never, ever be an earth-destroying flood again. And he put the rainbow around his throne. And every direction he looks, he sees the token of his oath to Noah. Then there is the blood of Jesus in the heavenly holy of holies, where the 10th chapter of the book of Hebrews said he cleansed the heavenly utensils of worship. See, Adam's authority went all the way up to, not including the throne of God, but all the way up to the throne. And it had to be cleansed from there down with the blood of the Lamb. But where do we sit? Just below the throne? No, no. Our authority, it goes all the way up and includes the throne, where our Savior, our blood brother, our joint heir sits at his very side. Whoa! We ain't quite there yet. Stay with me. We're working on something here now. Here we go. Now listen. The forerunner for us is entered, even Jesus, made. Say made.
Made.
Spell it. M-A-D-E. Made. Made. How is he made? He was raised from the dead. He was, by the resurrection, declared to be the Son of Glory. He went to hell and bore our sins and carried them there. But when he raised him from the dead, in the first chapter of this book of Hebrews, he said, he was speaking to him, "Thy throne, O God, is forever." And he said, "To which of the angels said he at any time, 'Sit on my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool?' To which of the angels said he at any time, 'And again I will be a father to him, and again he shall be my son?' But when he again brought in the firstborn into the world, he was made the Son of Glory, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, with all authority both in heaven and in earth, that all the angels worship him." God said that. Now, are you ready? You got to get this now. Jesus was made, appointed, heir of all things. We read all that, didn't we? Now listen. He was made the high priest, the high administrator of God, after the order of Melchizedek. So he's faithful to the order of Melchizedek. This is not talking about order like some kind of club. No, God gave Melchizedek orders. He told him to go do something. And he set those orders in motion. Melchizedek, chapter 7, I can read it better than I can tell it. Let's see what it says. This Melchizedek, king, or Lord, of Salem, that's the forerunner name of Jerusalem. Melchizedek was the king or the Lord mayor of the early city of Jerusalem and the priest of the Most High God. Well, isn't that what Jesus is? Only he ain't just Lord Mayor over Jerusalem. He is Lord Mayor over heaven and earth.
Amen.
Amen.
Who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and
blessed
him. And here we are back at it again. After the order of Melchizedek. Two immutable things, which is impossible for God to lie. Now, people have said, well, it's the word and the hope and all that. Well, now, wait a minute. Let's see. After the order of Melchizedek. Let's go over to the book of Genesis in the 14th chapter. And see what God told Melchizedek to do. What he ordered him to do is the same thing Jesus is ordered to do. It's not the total thing he's ordered to do, but it is at the key heart of what he's ordered to do. Because it said, you know, he went into the Holy of Holies and he presented himself righteous and holy, raised up from the dead. He had been sin and he's been raised up the righteousness of God. He went into the most holy of holy places and he went in before the holiest of all beings, the Almighty God himself, the Most High God of heaven and earth, and presented himself there spotless before him. And there, in that place, our forerunner that presented himself there, God then gave him and made him high priest under the same orders of Melchizedek. That's what we just read. So, 14th chapter of Genesis. Let's go back and see. I'm looking for several things here. One of them I'm looking for is these two immutable things, these two things that don't ever change. Now, verse 17, the king of Sodom went out to meet Abraham after he had returned from the slaughter. And, verse 18, Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, blood and body. Huh? Blood and body. Bread and wine. He didn't just say, oh, I'll tell you what, I'm going to go down. I think it'd be nice for me to receive communion, don't you? No, that may be our attitude, but it wasn't his. He's high priest of the Most High God. It is God that told him. That man, let's see why, what turned him on so. Abram had said to that king, he said, I don't even want the strings out of your shoes, man. I don't want anything but the food that my men ate while they were in the field. I have lifted my hand to Almighty God. In other words, his blessings made me rich and adds no sorrow to it. I don't need nothing you got. One translation said, never let it be said any man made Abraham rich but Almighty God. The scripture said he was very rich in silver and gold and cattle and land. That was the biggest expeditionary army in the world of that time. And Abraham whooped them with 318 men out of his own household. You know why? The Bible said they were trained. They had been instructed. Who instructed them? The only military around belonged to the enemy. The blessing. The blessing. He learned night tactics. Those guys had never fought at night. And we thought we coined the phrase, we own the night. Abraham owned the dark, brother. 318 men, and he chased that bunch. It was called the slaughter of the kings. And Ched, Orlay Omer, wasn't as bad as he thought he was. He got his backside kicked and they took his name. And that's the last time you ever heard old Chad. He was done, brother. I mean, they shipped his stuff home. I just love that story. 318 men wiped him out. And he'd been running over the whole countryside, city after city after nation. But this blessed man got him. Now, when he said, I've lifted my hand to the Almighty God, God gave him orders to do several things. One, go down there with symbols of the body and the blood, two things that never change. And number two, receive his tithe. Number three, bless him. Heaven is about to declare something on this man. Now, let's see what he said. Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought bread and wine. He was the priest of the Most High God. And he blessed him and said, blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. Oh, no, oh, no, oh, no, oh, no. I've had people react to this almost this violently. Oh, no. Oh, no, no, no. No, no. He wasn't calling Abraham possessor of heaven and earth. He's calling God possessor of heaven and earth. God already knew who he was. He wasn't talking to God. He's talking to Abraham. And in the fourth chapter of the book of Romans, does the Bible not say, did Abraham become heir of the world by works or faith? Huh? Heir of what? By faith, he became heir of the world. How did he get there? By orders of Melchizedek. Melchizedek was ordered to go announce it. Tell him who he is. He's covenanted with me, and we possess heaven and earth. That's where Jesus found out. All authority has been given unto me, both in heaven and in earth. He had the orders of Melchizedek. Now, we're about there. Oh, yeah, man. Man, I'm telling you. Blessed be the Most High God, which has delivered thine enemies into your hand, and he gave him tithes of all. And the king of Sodom said, "You give me the stuff." Abraham said, no, man. I lift up my hand unto the Lord, the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. Are you hearing? Are you listening? Melchizedek announced to God's covenant partner, in the blood and the body of the Lamb, you are blessed. You are possessor of heaven and earth because you are of God. You ain't just Abraham no more, Bubba. You of God. See, you're not just a man. You're a covenant man. Yeah. And so Abraham recognized it and he stood up. He heard him. He heard who he was. He heard what God had said. He recognized this man. He knew he was a priest of the Most High God. And he took it. He received what he said. And he didn't stagger at the promise of God. You remember that? Yes. In the fourth chapter of the book of Hebrews. Said he didn't stagger any longer at the promise of God. When? When he found that out. He stood up and lifted his hand. And that's when he said, "Blessed be God, possessor of heaven and earth." In other words, he said about God what God said about him. Amen.
Amen.
Well, what have you been doing? Jesus is under those same orders. Now, you're right there. You're right there in the book of Hebrews, or you're supposed to be. Amen. I told you I'm going to close. I'm doing it now. Verse 8, chapter 7. Isn't that where we are, chapter 7? Verse 4 said, Abraham gave the tenth of the spoils. Who'd he give them to? Melchizedek. Now, Jesus has been given the same orders as Melchizedek, only now he's not speaking from bread and wine. He's speaking from blood and body. My body broken for you. My blood shed for you. Here, men that die receive tithes, but there he receiveth them of whom it is witnessed he lives. Another translation said he lives forever. He is the high priest after the orders of Melchizedek. And if you will take the time to tithe and take it to your high priest and spend some time before him, that he is ordered to do the very same thing that Melchizedek did. And by the Spirit of the living God, he will come into your tithing closet. He'll come into your prayer room and he will meet you there with every anointing that it takes, every endowment of the Spirit, everything that it takes for you to possess heaven and earth. And he'll come in his body, and he'll come in his blood, and he will come in his glory. And he receives your tithe, and he stands in the same order, and he'll say, "Blessed be Jay of God, possessor of heaven and earth." And you will say, "Yes, amen." Hey, blessed be Jesus, the Most High Priest of the Almighty God. Hallelujah. Hey, we're there.
This is where I've been talking about all last night, all day today. It's right in this place right here. Ain't no argument about tithing. Tithe is not an argument about, well, is it old covenant? Is it law? I just told you it is after the orders of Melchizedek. And you ought to be like Abraham of old and stand in your prayer time. Don't just carry 10% to the church and plunk it in the bucket and watch it while it goes out the door. Take some time to tithe it before you take it to church. This is the tithing connection of the blessing. There. Here, men that die receive tithe. Yeah, sure they do. But we're not the high priest. We just administrators. But I'll tell you, the high priest himself, there he receiveth them. Go with the 26th chapter of Deuteronomy sometime, where the instructions are to take your first fruit and your tithe and go before the priest that shall be in those days. Well, he's the high priest of these days. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Did you get anything tonight?
Yeah.
That's when you go before him and you begin to say, the devourer is rebuked for my sake. What did God, your heavenly Father, say? I will open the windows of heaven and pour out what? 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 And there he receiveth them, of whom it is witness he liveth forever, and he has the orders of Melchizedek, yes. And he stands up and says, blessed be Kenneth and Gloria of the Most High God, possessors of heaven and earth. Go into all the world and preach this gospel. I'll pour out blessing you can't even contain.
Yes.
Hallelujah. You'll receive in this life 100-fold. Oh, yeah, they're going to be persecutions. Don't pay no attention to that. Glory to God. Well, yeah, sure it is. The devil don't like it. And I could care less because he's the devourer and he's been rebuked for my sake. Oh, you need to remind him. You know you've been rebuked on account of me. And then laugh at him. I'll tell you, see, he's a spirit of pride. He ain't going to take that laughing at much longer. He'll get, man. Then laugh him right on out the door. The big thing here is the blessing. The blessing of Abraham. You keep that commandment of love. Blessing without measure.
Amen.
Come on, you.
Amen.
And overtake you.
Hallelujah.
Creflo went to Africa, man. He's over there preaching. And a bunch of his church members, I'm talking about a bunch of them, got together and called together his board of directors and said, while he's gone, we're going to buy him a Rolls Royce.
Wow.
Yeah. He come home. What is this? There was that Rolls Royce.
Yeah.
What happened? Man, he got overtook. Yeah, amen.
Yeah.
Now, well, I don't know how. Well, see, that's Creflo Dollar. No, huh? That's just a man that believed it.
That's right.
He walks in that blessing.
Amen.
He and I have come to the place where we realize I'm supposed to be.
Right.
I'm supposed to be healed.
Right.
I'm supposed to be prosperous.
Amen.
My Lord, you're supposed to be too.
Amen.
I'm not in this ministry for you to serve me.
Come on.
Amen.
I'm in here because I'm having fun serving you. Amen.
Praise God.
You ought to be as blessed as me or more.
Amen.
We get together, we're 10,000 times more. Amen. One put 1,000 flight, two put 10,000.
All right.
10 times when we come together. Amen. But there, the king, the priest, the most high God. Stand up and let's give the Lord a praise. Let's give him a praise. Let's give him a praise. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, my, 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 my. Shout it at me. My God. Has blotted out, my transgression. I'm free.
I'm free.
When the Son of God has made you free, you're free without Christ, strangers from the common wealth of Israel, aliens and strangers from the covenants of promise, without hope and without God in the world, but in Christ Jesus. Woo! I am no longer a stranger. I am not without hope. Oh, glory to God. I'm not an alien from the commonwealth of God. I am, oh, I have a father. I have a daddy, and he's God, and he's big, and he's rich. He's the possessor of heaven and earth, and he's my God.